Yeah, amen. Yes, amen. Well, glory to God. Anybody else want to brag on Jesus tonight? God bless you, Nick. Bless your heart. God bless you, Josh. Bless your heart, son. Yeah, amen. Amen, Emily. God bless you. Amen, Brady. Amen, Ben. I sure do thank the Lord for saving me tonight. Making a new creature out of me. I'm glad He changed me. Praise His sweet name for that. We really are unlovable. If we really knew each other like we knew ourselves, we probably wouldn't have nothing to do with any of us. We'd just all go our separate ways. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven that knows us better than ourselves, and He loves us, Brother Bud. He loves us tonight. Yeah, amen.
The word of God. I don't have to go through this thing. This life is so complicated and confusing. But I don't have to sit around and wonder what God wants me to do. He's given me His word. He tells me everything He wants me to do if I'll just simply obey it and trust Him. And I thank you for that.
Yeah, amen, Chad. Okay, miss. Yeah, amen. Amen. The song they sung, I know how I made it. I made it by grace. And that's, it's Him. I'll tell you that much. I don't know much, but I know this. We've got as far as we've got by grace, and if we get any farther, it'll be Him that takes us. And you can take each of your lives and put yourself in that statement. It's so. We got to have Him. And that's I've just come to that place. Somebody else tonight, you know, I just like. Amen, Sandy. Amen. Yeah. Amen, Brother Bud. Psalms 116 tonight, and then just hold your place and go to 2 Corinthians 4. Good to be in the Lord's house tonight. I had a good day with the Lord today in some ways, and I'm sure thankful for that. Psalm 116, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I'm going to read a very familiar verse to you tonight, and it's familiar to you because we heard a great man of God preach on this here in this church one time, and it I want to say it stuck with me, but I don't know that it did. I can't remember what was said about it, but I want to it's just been nudging me all past two or three days, not all week, past two or three days, and I just want to try to just maybe hit some high spots on it tonight. I want to look at Psalms 116, verse number 10. The Bible says this: I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Now the Bible says this. This is a little phrase. Brother Ronnie Sutton preached on this, and I know he done a wonderful job, but here's the phrase that I want us to think about. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I believed, therefore have I spoken. Now let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I want to begin reading in verse number 8. Actually, I may back up to verse number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Then we start a new sentence. It says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so he says, we're preaching Christ Jesus the Lord. And he says this, the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Shine out of darkness. Then we go to verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So he has this knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He has that treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power. He said, I'm preaching this knowledge of the glory of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power, may be of God and not of us. Here's what Paul wanted. He wanted any power that was going to do a work to be of God and not of him. Then we go down verse number 8. And it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. So then, death working in us, but life in you. We, now listen what he says, this ties us back to Psalms. We having the same spirit of faith, according as is written. I think what Paul's saying, we've got the same spirit of faith as the one that wrote it in the Psalms. We having the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing. We believe, and then he says, knowing. That he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. If you would, pray with me and for me. Dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this morning or this evening, and I thank you for the privilege, Father, just to open your word and look at the truths and, that you've left for us. And I ask now, Lord, if you'd help me. You know my inability, and I ask you, Lord, to empower me. Let me preach with unction. And Lord, you do what needs doing tonight. I ask you to rest the hearts of the listeners and some way speak to their heart, Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Eternally change them into what they need to be. Have your way, Lord. I love you. Thy will be done, O God. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as I started kindly following that little verse that was nudging me, as I started wrestling around with that little thought, we believe, therefore we speak. I started looking at this, and I thought about this. Is that motivation to speak? Is that the right motivation? Because you believe something, is it right to speak it? Well, I understand. Let me just kind of give a little preface. Sometimes it's good not to speak. We know that. Sometimes the best thing we can do is be quiet. We have to have wisdom to evaluate the situation. But I think what the apostle's trying to say, I think if we could really get down to what he's saying, is the truths that we have in the Lord, we ought to publish them, or to verbally or publicly declare what we know to be truth. We ought to verbally declare that to those we come in contact with. I believe that may be the gist of what's being said. What you know in your heart to be so, what this Word of God teaches, you ought not be ashamed of. Y'all not be ashamed of it. And God's people are. As a rule, God's you've got to admit, I'll just tell you this little case in my life. I thought half the world was sodomites at one time. I'd seen these rallies in Washington, and I'd read these things, and I read an article I believe it was in the Sword of the Lord, and they had taken a survey, and 2% of the population of America were sodomites. 2%. 2% of the population of the United States is changing all the laws of our land. And you know, really, how are they doing that? Can I tell you how they're doing it? By speaking what they believe. That's what they're doing. We say this, we've got this old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. That's the truth. This fella, I was listening to the some of these folks that was fighting against the Mississippi Parkway here a while back, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. It's been a good while ago. And they said this, if you're not willing to go to the table, don't expect anything. And what they meant was, if you're not going to go voice your opinion, if you're not going to say how it is, then you just have to accept what comes along. But here's what those thoughts were running through my mind as I was thinking about this. Should we speak up? Is it right for us to say same-sex marriage is wrong? Can I tell you, it is right. We ought to be big enough to say that when opportunity prevails itself. And we ought to be prepared and waiting on that opportunity. We ought to be prepared and ready to address the sodomite crowd when it comes up. And we ought to be prepared and ready to address that crowd that's a bunch of liberals wanting to bring the world into the church. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why would you want to bring the world into the church when the love of the Father is not in those that love the world? Doesn't make sense, does it? And what we do, we sit by and we feel like we're the oddball and we're the ones that needs to be ashamed, and we have the truth. And you think about the cults, if you really want to just keep thinking along these lines, how do they take false facts and false doctrine, if you want to call it that? And I know there's the power of Satan behind it. I'm well aware of that. But how do they make that work to get great followings of people? Can I tell you what they do? They speak up. They say what they believe to be. I guess they believe it to be so. They say it for the truth. And so here's the little thought. Let's read it again. Verse 13, we have in the same spirit of faith, I think the spirit that David had in Psalm 116, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. Now, you say, well, I could be wrong. Now, if you think you can be wrong, you don't really believe it. And I get accused sometimes of being dogmatic and being overly aggressive and being different things. But can I tell you why I'm like that? Because I believe what I'm preaching to you all. I believe it. I'm not going to get up here and preach something that I'm not sure about, or I think it could be, but it might not be. Hey, if I'm going to get up here and preach to you, I'm going to preach what I believe with my whole heart. My, that right there will make you, that'll give you passion. That'll put something behind what you're saying. Well, I believe. Here's what it said. I believed, and therefore have I spoken. Then I started thinking about this. Well, I'm just going to talk to you for a little bit. I believe we have been so quiet that we've just let error overcome us. I mean people with false doctrines more bold than us with the truth. Something's wrong somewhere, church. We don't have a spirit of fear. We ought not have a spirit of fear. We ought to be able to stand boldly and proclaim the truth. And I know some of y'all have the truth. Some of you may not know what the Word of God teaches, but some of you do.
And so the idea is that when we have the truth and we believe, and I'm not talking about, well, I think it's so, but you know it's so. You believe, I think we ought to speak up. Now, why don't we? I'm just sharing with you some of the things running through my mind. I think maybe we have it here in verse number 8 through verse number 12. We are troubled on every side. You know what happens when you speak up? There's opposition. There always will be. The truth will always be opposed. And these folks that don't know what the truth is, but you tell them the truth, and they won't agree with you even though they don't know. They're just going to oppose you. Can I tell you, we're contending for the faith. We're fighting for the truth. We're the pillar and ground of the truth. And if we're not big enough, man enough, woman enough to stand on the truth, who's going to? Who's going to represent the Lord in this wicked, ungodly world? We're going to let the charismatics or the water baptizers or the confessional booth crowd, we're going to let them do it? Or are we going to stand because God's given us the truth? Oh my. Here's what he said. I believed and therefore have I spoken. The believer ought to speak up. But when we do, there'll be trouble. And so we don't want trouble, and so we cowered our way out. Now listen, what I'm saying tonight, it's easy preaching, but it's hard living. It's easy for me to get up here and talk to you tonight because I know you're in agreement, but when you get out there in the world and your back's up against the wall and four or five worldlings there that's in agreement on error, then it's a little different story, isn't it? We're troubled. Paul said this thing. He said we have this treasure in earthen vessel. What is it? It's the knowledge of the glory of God, face of Jesus Christ. We're troubled on every side. He said we don't preach ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. And so everywhere he went, he's preaching Christ. He's preaching Jesus. And it wasn't a popular doctrine then. And so it brought trouble to his life. And see, here's what truth does. It identifies people for what they are. And that brings conflict. You start preaching on slothfulness, and there's somebody lazy, then it starts, that Word of God starts cutting them. And it hurts. And they want to lash out at that. Or you start preaching on tithing, somebody doesn't tithe, doesn't believe in tithing, doesn't believe in missions, or doesn't believe, whatever it is, when you start preaching the truth, you're identifying people as being wrong and in error. And that goes against people. They don't like that. We live in a world that everybody has all the answers. They know. They really don't want the preacher to tell them anything because they already know. And if they don't know, they'll figure it out on their own without any help. And so it brings trouble. And so a lot of times we're just quiet to keep peace. Just to keep peace. We sell the Lord out for favor with men. It's what it really amounts to. If you really want to get down to it, we love the praise of men more than we do praise of God. And listen, I understand there's times you don't need. There's times that you do more damage than you do good. I'm not that foolish. But you know, more times than not, we ought to speak up and we just sit there. And so we see that it brought trouble. It brought persecution. Verse 9. Brought back up to verse 8. Brought distress. It brought perplexing. Perplex, whatever the word would be to go with that. It brought being cast down. In other words, can I just say it this way? if you're going to publicize the truth, you're probably going to be an outcast. That's I hate to tell you that. You're not going to fit in the office crowd. Not going to fit in at the school, public schools, young children, young folk. You're not going to fit in with the carnal church crowd. In fact, you're probably going to be shunned, and you're probably going to be persecuted, mocked a little bit. But if you believe it, you have a responsibility to proclaim it. We are, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. There won't be any truth unless the church puts it out, spiritual truth, unless the church puts it out. And so we have to be focused on that. And when you take a stand, maybe make applications for our lives, it brings negative consequences. And I could just go down the list. I've got a list of godly dress. That'll bring attack in your life from good people. What you think is good people. I could talk about missions. There's folks went to church all their life. They don't believe in giving one dime to missions. I'm going to tell you, that's pitiful. That's as plain the Word of God as the nose on my face tonight. You can talk about women being keepers at home. Long hair on men, short hair on women. You can talk about the wickedness of the television set. And the preacher, when he does that, they think he's some kind of nut. You'd be laughed at in a lot of places. You can talk about materialism, idolatry in the sports world, and treating animals like humans, and worldly entanglement, rock music and country music, and on and on we could go, just picking out these issues that the Bible gives good godly principles for, and when you stand for it, you declare the truth about those issues. They're mocked and belittled, but if we believe it, we know it's so. We ought to say so. Now, why would you say something when you know you're going to insult somebody? Why would you say something? Is it to insult someone? Is that why we declare the truth when we know it's not popular? To insult, to make somebody angry, to rub their face in, to grind an axe? To make little clones so we'll all be alike? Is that why you... No. No, you see, we're to be messengers proclaiming God's truths. That's what you are. We could go over in Timothy and read God's way of passing the truth on. We pass it to faithful men who pass it on to other faithful men. That's how it is. And so, I'm just wrestling around this evening with this thing of believing and speaking. I'm really afraid, and I don't know, maybe this would be an offensive way to say it, but it's so, I think God's people, they have a spirit of fear. We have been approved by the world so long, We don't want their disapproval. We're buddies with them. That's our buddies. And so we don't want to hurt them, and so we sell the truth out. And I really think we're selling the Lord out when we do that. You see, there's a responsibility that comes with knowledge. The knowledge of God's Word, we have a responsibility to pass that on to others. It's not the insult. It's not the anger. It's not to produce clones. It's just a, it's for the sake of being obedient to the Lord and being faithful to the Word of God. Are you faithful to declare the truth of the Word of God? Are you? You know, it may be we just don't believe. It may be we just don't know what we believe. Somewhere surely we've got to lay hold to some truth. You know why we declare the truth? That there's minds that's been blinded by the God of this world. And that light can help that blindness when the Holy Spirit uses it. We declare the truth to educate those that hasn't heard. We declare the truth to rebuke and reprove the disobedient. We declare the truth to water seed that's already been sown. Why do you keep saying that over and over? Water the truth. You water the truth. You don't grind an axe. You don't get a harp on something all over and over and over. But when God puts it on your heart, you may have preached it before, taught it before, studied it before. God puts it on your heart. You come back, water that seed, and God will bring it to fruition somewhere. That's what you do. You reinforce, you declare truth to reinforce truth that you already have. You see, your nature is to let truth slip away from you. Paul warned the Hebrews of it. It's a nature to just the truths of the Word of God slip away from your life. If you're not careful, you'll have a hold on it and you'll know it, but some way or another it'll get put in the backside of your life. I used to be afraid to be put on the back burner. You just put it in the bag, forget about it. You've let it slip. We declare the truth to put a roadblock to those that's headed to destruction. The truth will stand between somebody and destruction. They have to walk past it if they're going on. We declare the truth to stop the mouths of those declaring error. Now, I'm going to say this. I don't know if I ought to. We went in the prison maybe 6 months ago. We started on this thing of eternal security. And man, it got on, if you might say it that way, not in a good way. I mean, they was up in the air about it. And you know, we just had to kind of just shut it down and go on. And about 2 weeks, the Lord just kept nudging me. I couldn't let that die without maybe some way trying to get that truth across. And He let me come back and start a different way. And for about 6 weeks or so, I just would give a little truth. And they'd get it. Then I'd come back and they'd give another little truth. And they'd get it. I'd come back and they'd give another little truth and they got it. And there's an amen in me all the way. And I talked about our position. I talked about what could separate us from Christ. And just some of them little truths. In 6 weeks, I went in there and I just put all them truths up there. And I said, we agree on this. And basically it's what I said. And this ain't exactly how I did it, but here's what we've taught. We're in agreement. We've taught this, we're in agreement. We've taught this in agreement. We've taught this, we're in agreement. And then I said this. How in the world could we lose our salvation if all these things are true? And you know what the truth did? It quietened the critics. That's what the truth will do. And I didn't do it in a mean way. I don't think I did, Chad. And you may see it different, but I wasn't trying to be mean. I wasn't trying to browbeat. I wasn't trying to say I'm smarter than you or anything. Just give the truth. just a little precept upon precept, line upon line. We, for about maybe 8 weeks, I don't know however long it was, God just helped me. And then the other day, we just come back to eternal security, and there wasn't a thing that was said. Whether they believe it or not, I don't know, but can I tell you, the truth will quieten those in error. That's what Paul said in Titus, whose mouths must be stopped. They're subverting whole houses. In other words, what he's saying, they're subverting whole families. They've got to be stopped. That error has got to be stopped. How do you stop error? Truth. Truth. If we were to look in Titus, you would see that he's, in chapter 1, verse 5, he's to set in order things that are wanting. That's declaring truth. He's going to have to declare truth to do that. Whose mouths must be stopped in verse 11. Verse 13, rebuke them sharply. Chapter 2, verse 1, but speak the things which become sound doctrine. Verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Verse 9 of chapter 2, exhort servants. Verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. With all authority. That's where the man of God gets in trouble, when he stands up and declares the truth of the Word of God with authority. Oh yeah, that gets you in trouble. Folks don't like authority. But the Word of God, if you're declaring the truth of the Word of God, you can declare with authority. Amen. Chapter 3, verse 1, put them in mind. Verse 8, I will that thou affirm constantly. Now I want you to look at these with me. I'm just talking about speaking up. That's all. I'm not talking about being a smart aleck. That don't get you nowhere. You know that. Isaiah 56. I want you to turn with me if you could. Isaiah 56, say amen if you're there. Let me wait just a minute then. We all get there. All right, are we there? Say amen. All right, yeah, that's good. Here's what the Bible says. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. What I think that word dumb means is not barking. They are all dumb dogs. The Bible says they cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving the slumber. You reckon we have a bunch of dumb dogs today? They cannot bark. You reckon those watchmen who wasn't watching for the enemy, who were unlearned about the ways of God, who wouldn't say anything, who were sleeping, who were doing nothing, lying down, resting, doing nothing, loving it like that. You think God was pleased with that? Can I tell you, I don't think He was. Look in chapter 58 and verse 1. We see what ought to be. Chapter 58 and verse 1 says, cry softly, lest you offend. Now, that ain't what it says. You know, I hear that sometimes. Why you get so loud for? Why you get... Well... Study that word loud and aloud in the Word of God. Here's one verse. Cry loud. Cry loud. Spare not. lift up thy voice like a trumpet. I think what that's saying, somebody needs to get stirred up over the truth. Somebody needs to broadcast the truths of the Word of God. And then it says this, and show my people their transgression, the house of Jacob their sins. You reckon that was a popular message? You reckon they got pats on the back? Thank you for telling me how bad I am. Thank you for telling me how sinful I am, how ungodly I am. Well, do you think maybe it went over better if he said, well, now I'm going to give you a suggestion. Here's what I think y'all might want to consider, and this is a good thing for you to think about. It's not God's way. He said, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. I'm afraid that's what we're missing in our day. I'm afraid we're too frightful. Jeremiah chapter number 1. Let me give you a few more and we're going to be through. Jeremiah chapter number 1. I want to start in verse number 6. I'll go down through verse 10, then we'll jump again. Then said I, let me go to verse 4. Then the word of the Lord come unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, here's the God's messenger. Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. I can't speak, I'm just a kid. But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child. Don't say I'm a child. Don't say you can't speak. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Notice verse 10. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to give a good message. Here's what it says. To root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down. That's negative. That's negative preaching, preacher. It sure is. And then to build and to plant. 4 negatives, 2 positives. It's almost that reprove, rebuke, and exhort, isn't it? And so we see, and I understand a lot of this is dealing with preachers. I understand that. But can I say in a general sense, you all should be declaring the truths of the Word of God. That's your job. You're an ambassador. You have the ministry of reconciliation. We're to edify one another, build one another up in the faith. It's not all on the preacher, friend. We could go on. You can look verse 17 and through 19. Let's just read 17 for the sake of time. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. Here's what I'm trying to get across to you this evening. God's people are to be verbal in the with the truth. The world don't have the truth. They don't have it. And we're so fearful or timid and I understand I'm leery when I say this, because somebody can go out and just make a mockery out of God by trying to ram a T-bone steak down some babe's throat. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having some wisdom to just stand for what's right when opportunity prevails itself. We've quietened down. We've become dumb dogs that won't speak, won't bark. And I'm going to tell you, you may not like a barking dog, but you'll pay attention to it. That's exactly right. They'll get your attention. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. We need to speak up. You've got the truth. And we're afraid. And I'll include myself. I'm not trying to preach at you. I'm preaching to us. I've had to preach to myself before I preach to you all. We don't want the reproach, do we? The mockery. The ridicule that might come our way. But if you believe, you have a responsibility to speak. If you know it, if you're not sure, the best thing you can do is be quiet. If you're just thinking you're right and you're not sure, but those things you know. Those things you know, you better stand for it. Be a public witness. And I've got another little message I'm going to preach to you sometimes, but I want to go to Acts 17 and close with this. This will be my last verse tonight. Acts chapter number 17. Verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto them and believed. Now, this chapter's got about four responses to the Word of God, to the truth. And here's what I want to encourage. Here's what happened. When they brought up the dead coming back, when Paul brought up the dead coming back to life, that's when they cut him off. Now, he had the truth, but they hadn't ever heard it before. And here's what they did. Some laughed. Yeah, dead coming back to life. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Get rid of it. Others said, "We're not, just not today, Paul. Not today. We're not going to receive today. Maybe another day." Now, whether this third group believed for the right reason, I don't know. Some way he had some that believed. I don't know if they believed blindly. And I'll tell you what I'm getting at. Look in verse 11, chapter 17. How should we receive? Here's what I'm saying. What if some man of God gets up and preaches something you've not heard? Now, I don't think that's going to happen because you've heard a lot of truth around here from different ones that's come through. What if some man of God gets up and preaches something you're struggling with? How should you respond? Should you mock? He don't know what he's talking about. Should you reject? Not today, buddy. You're a day late if you're going to sell me on that. I'll talk to you again sometime, not today. Should you just believe? Well, here's what the noble Bereans done. The Bible said let's read verse 10. The brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Now, does it say they believed? It doesn't. Let me answer that for you. It doesn't. It said they received it with all readiness of mind. Okay, Paul, if that's what you say, we're hearing what you're saying. They didn't jump on board, but I want you to notice what they did. They received it and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Can I tell you, that's the godly response. Now, I get up here and preach something, you say, I don't know about that. Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to receive it. Search the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Most of the people that won't have the truth are those that won't search the Scriptures. Not faithfully. They might just every now and then. But those who will search the Scriptures daily, you ain't going to have no problems out of them. You ain't going to have any problems out of them. I promise you that. If you're declaring truth, there won't be no problems. You just search the Scriptures and see if what you're struggling with is, if what the man of God said, or the teacher, or the saint, as far as that goes, has said, search the Scriptures and see if it's so. Don't mock them. Don't turn them off. Don't blindly put faith in them. But search the Scriptures and see if it's so. And if you will, God will help you. God will help you. And what you believe, declare it. If you don't stand for nothing, what good are you? What good are you if you won't stand for nothing? What's that old saying? If you won't stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. I don't know. I don't know if that's so or not, but I know this. God's people, we're standing in Jesus' foot. We're standing in His shoes, so to speak. He's in heaven. We're His body. You're His mouthpiece. What He would do in Walden's what we ought to be doing in Walden. Speak up. Don't be a smart aleck. Don't be mean spirited. Don't be holier than thou or a know it all. But stand for the truth that you know. God will bless you. Brother Allen, just a verse of a song tonight. Let's bow our heads. I don't know. I don't think. I don't know that what we've preached tonight would merit anybody needing to do business with God. Maybe so. Maybe you sold the truth out. I don't know. But maybe you've been troubled or bothered or something this week's just overwhelmed you, and you need to talk to the Lord. If so, I want to give you a chance. Brother Allen's going to sing a verse of a song. You need to pray. You feel free to tonight.
Stand up. Stand up.